Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We announced that we're kind of doing a little mini-series here before the end of the year on seeking Him. I think it's very fitting. People seeking a lot of other things right now, and so we need to focus in on Jesus. But Hebrews 11, verse 6 is a great verse. Theme verse. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. What is faith? Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith is relying on Him and His Word. Without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That word rewarder means to pay wages and salary. Now, He's not paying us money. What's He rewarding us with? Growth. Spiritual growth and insight into Him and into His Word. And as that happens, our world changes. Diligently means to be constant, attentive, persistent. And to seek, it's more than just seeking to find something. It's seeking something to find and to know. And that's what we're doing when we're seeking Him, to get to know Him in a greater way. So we could interpret this as He will increase us spiritually as that we constantly seek Him with the intent to get closer to Him. Now, many people today, and obviously, I mean, we're not full in here today, and there's a lot of churches in Augusta that aren't full today. You know, I don't know the exact numbers, but in the typical American city, 60 to 80% people aren't in church on Sunday. And so a lot of folks do not believe that God is a rewarder. They don't really see any purpose in church. They don't see any purpose in prayer. They don't see any purpose in Bible study. There's just no purpose in it. Why? Because actually what they believe is they don't believe that He's a rewarder. They believe that He's a punisher. And that's what they've been taught and trained and seen in the life of believers, that, you know, if I seek Him and go after Him with all of my heart, I'm going to be punished. I'm going to be worse off. But that's not what the Scripture says. You know, we had prayer time this morning, and, you know, I didn't go to prayer time because I'm the pastor here. I didn't go to because someone made me do it. I went because I wanted to go. I wanted to seek Him. I wanted to spend time, and they're sure there's the individual, of course. All of us individuals to seek Him, and we need to do that. A lot of our seeking is individual. But I love the corporate get-togethers. I love being together in corporate prayer or corporate worship, being together. It's just an amazing thing. So many things. God does so much in our midst, and we're all coming together. So to seek Him. And I got rewarded today. Rewarded for seeking Him. Not that any kind of gold stars, but just blessed. Susie's drunk, and you know. And when she's drunk, I'm happy. Because Susie's a lot of fun. When Susie's down, my world is down. No pressure now. But Susie preached a wonderful message last week about righteousness, and we're going to continue with that today. Let's look over in John chapter 8. Before we became believers and made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and you could say born again, that's what the Bible says, or receive Jesus. I mean, whatever, however you want to phrase it, make Jesus the Lord of your life. We had a sin nature. A sin nature. And that goes back to the garden. That goes back to Adam's sin that, you know, he submitted himself to the enemy. And the nature of that enemy came upon him and transformed him. So let's look at that. You can understand that if you look at John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the people that keep all the rules and regulations and supposed to be helping others. But this is what he said to them. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." Now listen to this. "You are of your father, the devil." Don't you that make some people mad? I would like someone to come up to you and say, "You are of your father, the devil." You've probably had someone say that to you already, but anyway. But he's saying that to the religious leaders. I mean, don't you know, they were mad. They were hot. But he's speaking the truth. You see, it's not about rules and regulations and appearances. It's about relationship. And so he was just laying it out. He was just speaking the truth. And he loved them. He was just trying to, you know, break through that hardness and all their junk. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And whether you know it or not, or understand it or not, you know, Romans talks about believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, confessing him as your Lord. The Bible says you'll be saved. We call that, again, Jesus said was in John chapter 3, he called that being born again. Or you might say being saved, receiving Christ. So before that happened, the nature, the real you on the inside, is what I described here. That's who you were. You were of your father, the devil. And that's pretty harsh. But let's read some more about this over in Ephesians. Susie read this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I'll read in the Amplified. And this will really give you some compassion and some understanding from people, because we're expecting sometimes a lot from people that can't give you what you want. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world, were under the sway and tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You are obedient to and under control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience." That's what we were. That's a good sons and daughters of disobedience. "The careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Among these, as well as you once lived, conducted yourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature." I like that word, nature. It's your nature, your tendency. That's who you are. "Obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and dark imaginings. When we were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. And, of course, Susie mentioned this last week, verse 4, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God. Aren't you glad for God today? It says, but God, who is rich in what?
Mercy.
Every one of us were in this state. Every one of us had this nature. And this nature is full of shame. I mean, just think about the enemy. You think about good and bad, and think about the nature of the enemy who we're dealing with. Of course, a liar. But full of shame, poverty, confusion, destructive behavior, sickness, envy, judgment, jealousy, lust, defeat, condemnation, guilt. Have I missed anything? That was our nature. And it was just so sad as we didn't know it. We didn't realize it. We just thought that's just how it is. And for many of us, we were raised in in a moral environment, and so it's so frustrating. You're trying to do good, but you just can't. You're trying to live right, but you just can't because you're powerless. You don't have it within yourself to overcome this nature. So we had a sin nature. And even though you did good things, your good things could never, ever earn God's righteousness. I don't care how good you were and how many good things you could do, how much is enough to change that nature on the inside of you? And Lord knows, I mean, you know, for 19 years, I met Jesus when I was 19, really. But I was in church, and I was constantly trying to do things to earn that righteousness. And there were times I felt like I was accepted, but then it would go away. I remember I used to go to confession, and I felt good when I went. Of course, I didn't tell the priest all my sins. I mean, never do that. But I told him some good ones, you know, some lower level ones. But after I did that, I mean, I felt so good for a while, till the next day, when I, you know, started back on my journey to see what I could do for the next confession. But trying to do good. But see, no amount of goodness, no amount of good behavior, all these things we want to do could change your nature. And with that sin nature, unable to approach God, isn't that amazing? You're in church, but you're unable to approach Him, to please Him, to know Him, or to serve Him. And that's a really sad situation, to be deceived and to be in church and trying to do good, but you're just so far away from Him. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. We'll get off this. We need to get into some good stuff here. Let's get over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation." Everybody say, new creature. New creature. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a new creature. You knew that already, didn't you? A new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. You know, what do we say about someone that dies? We say they pass away. That sin nature has passed away. It's passed away. It's gone. In the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, a new nature came in and you became a new creature, a new creation. One translation says a new species of being that never existed before in all of history. Woo! Let's woke somebody up there. Woo! Woke up another person. Woo! Waking them all up. Old things passed away. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, passed away. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ, and He's the way, reconciled us to Himself, received us into favor. We could shout, you could just be shouting at all of these. Instead of saying His love never quits, we'll just shout. Let's practice. Woo! Lame, lame, lame. Received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. It's a little better. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciled and restoring the world to favor with Himself. I see where this is going. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. And I shouldn't have started this. I'm not going to be able to finish. We'll just shout our way into communion. But committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration of favor, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God making His appeal as though it were through us, we are Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, being viewed as being in examples of, the righteousness of God. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with Him by His goodness. See, this is the big deal about the gospel. The gospel is good news. What is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, in a nutshell. It's the gospel. And when Jesus died on the cross through His death, burial, and resurrection, a humongous, gigantic exchange took place. He took our sin nature and exchanged it for His nature. Remember all those things I mentioned about that sin nature? Took that out of us. An exchange took place. He bore our sins. He bore our sickness. He bore our shame. He bore our guilt. He bore our poverty. Took it upon Himself. And then didn't just stop there. Then He gave us God's nature, gave us Jesus' nature. And do we have any doubt today that Jesus is righteous? Do we have any doubt today that Jesus is holy and pure and blameless and accepted and at peace with God and reconciled? We don't have any doubt. Do we have any doubt that Jesus is pleasing to God? That's the nature. That's what you've been given. That is who you are. So when we're born again, the old nature passed away. So one of the big problems that we have in the church today, and hopefully not as much in this church, but I know it still is, we believe in eternal life. We believe in going to heaven when we die. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, but we don't believe that the blood of Jesus was enough to change our nature. Don't really believe that. And so we put off so many things until heaven. Well, it's going to be better in heaven. And I talk about heaven when I do a funeral or memorial service. I'll talk about heaven. And there's a lot of great things about heaven. I mean, you know, because Satan won't be there. Take that influence out, and what would life be like without any evil and all that he is? But and so we've heard about this, or it's been preached to us, and so there's so many things we put it off until later. But my Bible says we have a now redemption. My Bible says that we have a now salvation. We have a now faith. It doesn't say one day. It doesn't say in the future. It doesn't say when we die and go to heaven. We have it right now. And that's one of the problems, is we don't have a now faith or a now understanding. It's kind of like, well, there's going to be some good things, but here on earth we're going to have misery and failure and disappointment and weakness, and then also be under the power of sin until we go to heaven. To be under the power of sin. But if the blood of Jesus is not powerful enough to take care of the sin problem now, why would it take care of it later? You thought about that? If it's not powerful enough to take care of the sin problem now, why would it do any good after we go to heaven? Will He do something for us in heaven different than what He's already done? Is something going to happen in heaven that's different than what He did here on the earth? But we think that. And we put things off, and we put off His blessings, and put off His goodness. Now, death is the enemy. God is not the author of death. Satan is the author of death. But if something else is going to happen after we die, that means that Satan is the doorway to greater blessings from God. That when we die, if that's the case, that means God's using Satan to get a greater blessing to us after we die. But that seems ridiculous, doesn't it? He's not going to use the devil to complete His redemptive work. I believe today that the Bible is true. I believe that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Actually made that. I believe when we were born again, when we were saved, our nature, we've been given a new nature, and we are new creations, new creatures. I believe that we are partakers of His divine nature. I believe that we currently are seated with Him in heavenly places. I believe that we are blessed now with all spiritual blessings. And I believe that our redemption is a now redemption and not a someday redemption. How can we be in Christ and have the nature of the devil? What is it? We have one foot in hell and one foot in heaven? My Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it says, let that man, he won't receive anything from God when we're double-minded. But see, the enemy, he's you know, and it just goes back to the garden, always creating lack. We never have enough. We're never good enough. And we've got to, you know, through our works, going back to that, trying to be good, through our works, trying to earn what we already have. You see that game, that trap? Well, you know, you're not receiving this because of the sins you've committed. Or whatever lie he's telling us. I love what Paul says over in Philippians chapter 4, and you need a revelation of this. Whatever state I am in, naturally, I'm content. It's not based on money in the bank. It's not based on a clean bill of health. It's not based on any feeling. It's a knowing that I am in Christ, and I'm blessed with all He's going to bless me with. According to the Scriptures, sin shall not lord over us. He has made us overcomers. He has made us more than conquerors. That is who we are. So if we're living today, and I know there are amongst us, if we're living a life of weakness, the primary reason that we're living in a life of weakness is we do not know who we are in Christ. We don't know. We don't understand redemption. And if you haven't learned that here, I mean, I apologize as the pastor here, the leader here. I apologize if we haven't done a good job in teaching that. But to know who you are in Christ, to know what you have, your inheritance, and what you can do. You got to know who you are. You got to understand the gospel and what happened that day when Jesus died and when he descended, those 3 days when he descended into hell, and then when he was raised on that third day. What does that mean for me today? What does that mean for me Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? It should be impacting us on a daily basis. We should know who we are. And it doesn't mean that we won't have problems. We'll have problems as long as there. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. There is a devil out there stealing and killing and destroying. And I hate to say it, he seems to be doing a better job than many Christians at what he does, than what we do at what we're supposed to be doing. He knows his purpose. But we've been given already victory over him. He's got no power in our lives. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. And so what we do when we're in Christ, what we're doing, we're enforcing that victory on a daily basis. And he's going to try any kind of sneaky way to get in. And if he can't get in your life, he's going to try to get into those that you love. But we've been given authority, and we've got to use our God-given authority and put him in his place. But we don't, because we don't know who we are. We feel weak. We don't feel worthy. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough in ourselves. But he has made us strong. He has made us righteous. He has given us his authority. And what happens is we have, and I think what happens, especially in a church like this, we know a lot of things. But there's a difference between mental assent and hearing something and having knowledge in your mind than having it in your heart as a conviction. And knowing who you are. Knowing who you are so much so that it affects your behavior and it influences your thinking. That's the difference. Oh, I've heard that. Pastor, I know what you... Well, then why are you... I'm not going to cuss, but... You know, you get together with all these men and you want to start cussing. Around the campfire. I don't know, Susie. Don't ask me any questions. Weak, wormy, don't know who we are, what we have, what we can do. So it's a mental assent. And that's dangerous. That is really dangerous, because if you think you have something you don't, that's deception. That is being double-minded. Thinking you've got it, but you don't. And so it takes some preaching, it takes some teaching, it takes some mind renewing, and once you do that, you never arrive. We're never going to arrive. That's why you got to keep on seeking. You got to be diligently seeking him. We forget things. The Bible says you fall from grace. We need each other. You need people to get in your face. Nate, you need people to get in your face. I'm going to start getting in your face more. You too, Sean. You look so innocent over there. Why did he say on the cross, it's finished? Why did he say it's finished? He finished it. He finished the job. He did his job. He finished it. It's a done redemption. It's a now redemption. It's a now salvation. It's a now righteousness. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've got right standing with the Father. I can go boldly to the throne. Whether I've missed it or didn't or whatever, I'm His son. I've got an inheritance. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. Turn over to Isaiah. This is good. Isaiah 26. Anybody spend any time in Isaiah this week? Isaiah 26, verse 12. This is a good scripture for someone that's been struggling with things, feeling weak, feeling like you're not good enough. Lord, Amplified Version, Lord, you will ordain peace, God's favor and blessings, both temporal and spiritual for us. You have also wrought in us and for us all our works. O Lord, our God, our masters beside you have ruled over us, but we acknowledge and mention your name only. Listen to this now. They, the former tyrants, are dead. The former tyrants are dead. That power of sin and its effects and that behavior is dead. You need to realize that, because you're not going to get free until you realize it's dead. The manifestation is not going to come until you already know that you have the victory. They shall not live and reappear. They are powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. He's been defeated. That sin nature has been removed. Therefore, you have visited and made an end to them and caused every memory of them, every trace of their supremacy, to perish. Works on your memories. So what do we do? Well, there's a lot of things, and this will probably be maybe next time. There's a thing called meditation. How do we get this in Christ revelation in us? We've got to wash your mind. The mind is the filter between your body and this natural realm and your spirit. And that's why it says for it to be washed. It's washed with the Word. But a way you can do that is meditate on His Word. Think about His goodness. Think about what He's done. Think about the gospel. Think about the blood of Jesus. Think about all the different promises of who you are in Christ. And think about it and rehearse it until you see that image of who you are in Christ. Change the way you see yourself. Start meditating and thinking on His Word, and start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Of course, there's confession. Confessing His Word. Your mind has to stop and hear what you're saying. But to speak, I mean, faith is believing and speaking, and it's going to have to be in our words. You're already meditating on things already. You're already doing it. I'm just suggesting that you take the Word and take these principles and meditate on these things. Whatever is pure and perfect and lovely and a good report, all that other junk is tearing you down. All that other junk is weakening you. We should not wake up every day feeling weak and helpless and unworthy and sinful. That's not who we are. That's not who we're made to be. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We have the faith that overcomes this world. We are His sons and daughters. And if you mess up, I mean, of course, everybody else doesn't understand it, but he's already made provision for any sins you're going to commit today and in the future. That same redemption has covered it all. Your sin's not going to make you unrighteous. He's already taken care of that. It's not going to change your nature. Just like your goodness before couldn't make you righteous, your sin can't change your nature to be unrighteous. So if you mess up, just go to Him. Just start confessing what He's done. Confessing who you are. And see, the mistake we make is we miss it and we run from God. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, we hide from Him and we run from Him and we back up from people and, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, you know, I should be doing better than this. See, that's all a lie. That's all the enemy trying to twist things and to try to get you weaker and weaker and weaker so he can have, you know, come into your life and bring havoc and all that he is. What you do if you miss it, instead of running from God, run to Him. Run boldly to the throne. Run into His arms. Remember the prodigal son and the father? Get that image. When you miss it, get that image of the Father God just coming and running towards you with love and compassion. And then when he does that, he didn't run for the prodigal son, just start slapping him around, punch him in the stomach, knock him down and start kicking him. No, he's loving me. He's blessing him. Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne. What, you know, if you need mercy? What, you need, grace? What do you need? Run to Him. Seek Him. He's a rewarder.
Yes.
He's going to reward you if you seek Him. Don't be afraid of Him. He's your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
The Bible says for all of eternity, He just wants to pour out His blessings and with His rich blessings towards you all of eternity. That's what He wants to do.
Yes.
Why wait? What are we waiting for? I know there's a devil and there's some tough days, but I mean, if you wake up your every morning and start confessing who you are, I mean, you're going to be flying to work. Oh, we got problems? The gospel is the center from which we receive all of God's blessings. Provision, healing, righteousness, peace, joy. Meditate on it. Think about it. Believe in it. And that'll just keep it real simple because I'm telling you, religion just gets so confusing. I remember when I was playing golf when I used to play golf, you know, you got all these people trying to give you all this advice, and you get up there, and if you're thinking about 15 things, you're going to hit the worst shots you've ever hit in your life. The best thing to do, this is some golf tips. You get it all at Good News Church. Here's some golf tips for you. Just work at one thing at a time. I mean, Paul talked about that one thing. One thing. I mean, to seek Him, to know Him, to understand His gospel. But then, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to live this in Christ. He'll empower you to overcome the sin that's already been defeated. He'll make you strong when you feel weak. When you feel the weakest, that's when you're going to have the biggest miracles. Because you're not relying on yourself. You're relying on Him. Now, I'm not saying, you know, trials and tribulations. I'm not advocating you calling those things in. They'll come without you calling them. We've got to wash our minds. Change our thinking. says in Hebrews that you can have your senses, your mind trained to discern between good and evil. Have your mind transformed to understand the perfect will of God. Y'all doing okay today? You want me to stop? Well, I have to stop because we're going to have communion. Ushers, if you can get things ready. But I'm telling you, and I know it's just going to take a revelation because like some of you haven't heard this before. It's like, oh my God, what in the world is he talking about? But we've got to grow in this. We've got to help each other. That's what, you know, fellowship, talk to each other. Get some coffee. You know, why don't you get some coffee today and say, what's Pastor Matt talking about? Hope it causes you to go to the Word. Go look at Paul's writings. Start looking for those scriptures in him, in Christ. Because you're going to find yourself. Find out who you are.